Welcome to the Nowracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host.
And I'm your co-host. We have a packed show today covering the bleeding edge of hardware and artificial intelligence.
Today, we are looking at a major leap in generalized robotic intelligence from Shengshu Technology, who just unveiled a model that promises to be a unified brain for any robot.
We are also checking in on the quantum computing sector, which just experienced a massive, coordinated sell-off after a month of high-flying gains.
Plus, we will discuss the extreme lengths privacy advocates are going to in order to stop their modern vehicles from spying on them, including ripping cellular modems right out of the dashboard.
Let's get right into it.
Let's start with a major development in the robotics space. On April 29th, 2026, Shengshu Technology unveiled something they are calling Motu Brain. They describe it as a world action model, or WAM, designed to act as a unified robotic brain.
The promise here is massive, because it fundamentally changes how we program machines. Historically, robotic systems rely on highly modular, task-specific software. You program a robot to weld, and it welds. You program it to walk, and it walks. But adapting to new environments or executing complex, multi-step instructions without explicit reprogramming has always been the ultimate bottleneck for the industry.
Exactly. Motu Brain is trying to solve this by integrating perception, prediction, and action all into one single foundation model. And the benchmarks they are claiming right out of the gate are pretty wild. They hit a 63.77 score on the World Arena benchmark and an average of 96.0 across 50 different tasks on RoboTwin 2.0.
The underlying architecture is what makes those numbers possible. It is built on a three-stream mixture of transformers. So instead of just processing text like a traditional large language model, it is processing text, video, and physical actions simultaneously. They are leaning heavily on Shengshu's existing video generation technology to power the spatial understanding.
And this approach is clearly catching the attention of serious capital. Shengshu just raised a $293 million Series B funding round, which was led by Alibaba Cloud. That kind of financial runway gives them a lot of room to scale this unified brain approach and secure the massive compute required to train multimodal systems.
They are already deploying it with hardware partners, too. Astrobot is one of the companies integrating Motu Brain into their physical units. Shengshu says the model currently supports multi-step tasks of up to 10 atomic actions, which is enough to handle fairly complex household or industrial chores.
But here's the sticking point for me. Executing 10 atomic actions in a simulated benchmark environment like RoboTwin 2.0 is very different from operating in the chaos of a real-world environment.
I completely agree. The unpredictability of a real kitchen or a messy factory floor is notoriously hard to model. A unified brain sounds great in theory, but critics always point out that these general-purpose world models often struggle with edge cases that a specialized, fine-tuned system handles easily.
The company argues that the unified approach actually eliminates the need for that task-specific fine-tuning. But is it truly hardware agnostic? Different robot embodiments have entirely different kinematic constraints, weight distributions, and sensor arrays.
Right. Transferring a policy from a simulated robotic arm to a physical humanoid robot still requires an immense amount of specialized data. You cannot just drop the same software brain into a quadruped and a biped and expect flawless execution without hardware-specific translation layers. Still, if Motu Brain can generalize even a fraction of what it does in simulation to the physical world, it is a huge leap forward for autonomous robotics.
Moving on to the financial markets. 2 days ago, we talked about Quantum Computing Inc. and their massive first quarter revenue jump. Well, it seems the entire quantum sector is now experiencing a bit of a hangover.
That is putting it mildly. On May 15th, we saw a coordinated, sector-wide sell-off. Major U.S.-listed quantum stocks, including IonQ, Rigetti Computing, D-Wave Quantum, and Quantum Computing Inc., all fell between 6 and 9% in a single trading session.
It is a stark reminder of the extreme volatility we see in these pure-play quantum assets. analysts are attributing the drop mostly to profit-taking. These stocks had seen significant gains over the past month, and they got caught up in broader market pressure that hit the tech, semiconductor, and crypto sectors.
The timing is interesting because it comes right on the heels of what we could call quantum earnings season. And the financial numbers coming out of these companies are completely all over the map, which makes them incredibly difficult to value using traditional metrics.
Let us look at IonQ as an example. They reported Q1 2026 revenue of $64.67 million. That is a 755% increase year over year. That is staggering top-line growth.
It is, but you have to compare it to the scale of the operations across the rest of the industry. Quantum Computing Inc. reported $3.7 million in Q1 revenue, and Rigetti reported $4.4 million. These are still very small numbers in the grand scheme of enterprise hardware.
And then there is D-Wave. They reported an 81% year-over-year revenue decline for Q1. However, they also highlighted a 1,994% increase in bookings, bringing that forward-looking metric up to $33.4 million.
That massive discrepancy between recognized revenue and forward-looking bookings is exactly why these stocks are so volatile. Investors are essentially trading on sentiment and long-term potential rather than immediate profitability. All of these firms are still posting significant operating losses as they pour capital into research and development.
Which brings up the existential question for these smaller, independent firms. How do they justify their billion-dollar valuations while burning through cash, especially when tech giants like Alphabet and Microsoft are pouring vast sums into their own proprietary quantum hardware?
That is the core dilemma. The pure-play firms have to prove that their specific qubit modalities, whether that is trapped ions, superconducting circuits, or quantum annealing, can reach fault tolerance and commercial utility faster than the hyperscalers. If they cannot, they risk being outspent and out-engineered.
And if this recent 9% drop shows us anything, it is that investor patience is not infinite. They cycle between aggressive buying on technological milestones and rapid profit-taking the moment the broader macroeconomic environment gets jittery.
For our final deep dive, let us talk about the extreme lengths people are going to for digital privacy. Security researcher Arkady Tettelman just published a highly detailed guide on how to physically remove the cellular modem and GPS antenna from a 2024 Toyota RAV4 hybrid.
This is a fascinating look at hardware-level self-defense. Modern vehicles are essentially rolling data centers. They have always-on modems that collect vast amounts of telemetry data, everything from your precise location and driving habits to biometric information. And a lot of this data gets shared with third-party data brokers or even insurance companies.
Tettelman decided he had enough of the surveillance. On May 13th, he documented the process of using a trim removal kit and specific socket tools to tear into his dashboard and physically extract the data communication module, or DCM.
It is the ultimate opt-out. Software toggles in the infotainment system are notoriously unreliable, and car manufacturers often hide clauses deep in their terms of service stating that they can turn telemetry back on for safety reasons or over-the-air updates. Physically removing the hardware is the only way to be absolutely sure the car is not phoning home.
But it comes with significant trade-offs. Tettelman notes that pulling the DCM might void warranty coverage related to telematics and cloud services. However, he points out that under the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act, it should not void coverage for unrelated mechanical failures.
The bigger immediate issue is the loss of daily functionality. Removing the modem actually disables the car's built-in microphone. If you want to make a simple hands-free call, you have to install a third-party bypass kit. Tettelman specifically mentions one called the AHH-DCM77 just to restore basic Bluetooth calling capabilities.
And even then, he issues a massive warning. If you connect your phone to the car via Bluetooth, the car's infotainment system might just use your phone's internet connection to transmit that telemetry data anyway.
That is wild. You rip the modem out of the dashboard, and the car just quietly piggybacks on your smartphone's data plan to continue spying on you.
Exactly. To prevent that tethering loophole, he recommends strictly using a wired USB connection for Apple CarPlay and keeping the vehicle's Bluetooth turned off entirely.
It really highlights the growing trend of digital self-defense.
But you have to wonder if this is realistic for the average consumer. Tampering with complex automotive electronics is not for the faint of heart, and it could introduce new safety risks if you unplug the wrong harness.
It is definitely a niche enthusiast project for now, but it speaks volumes about the complete lack of trust consumers have in automakers' data practices. Automakers are increasingly viewing data as a service as a massive future revenue stream, when physically tearing apart your brand new car feels like the most rational way to protect your privacy, the industry has a serious transparency problem.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up.
Sounds good. What is first on the list?
Security researchers have found that Mulvad VPN exit IPs are surprisingly identifying. Mulvad is widely considered the gold standard for privacy-first VPNs, so this discovery is making waves.
It turns out they assign exit IPs deterministically based on a user's WireGuard public key using a seeded random number generator. Because of that deterministic assignment, users end up landing at the same percentile of exit IP pools across different servers.
Right. It essentially reduces the number of unique IP combinations to just 284. Researchers claim this allows an observer, like a forum moderator, to correlate a user's activity across different servers with over 99% accuracy.
Mulvad's co-founder has acknowledged the issue, and they are currently testing a patch. But for now, the recommended mitigation is to manually rotate your WireGuard public key frequently by logging out of the app.
Next up, a wild hardware experiment. Software engineer Scott J. Goldman has successfully connected a desktop NVIDIA RTX 5090 to an M4 MacBook Air as an external GPU.
This should not be possible, since macOS natively blocks third-party GPUs on Apple Silicon. Goldman had to use a Thunderbolt dock and pass the GPU through to an ARM64 Linux virtual machine using QEMU.
He had to overcome some insane technical hurdles, including bypassing Apple's strict 1.5 gigabyte DMA mapping limit with a custom virtual device and patching NVIDIA driver alignment issues via K-probes. But it actually worked. He managed to get Cyberpunk 2077 running at 4K RT Ultra settings at up to 111 frames per second with frame generation enabled. It is a massive technical flex, even if it is way too complex for the average Mac gamer. Over on GitHub, developers are flagging a frustrating limitation in Anthropic's Claude Code Agent. The embedded preview tool currently blocks any subdomains of localhost URLs.
Right. If you try to route the agent to something like acme.localhost on port 3000, it throws an error saying preview only supports literal localhost URLs.
This is a major headache for developers building multi-tenant SaaS applications, where using subdomains is the standard way to test isolated cookies and cores behavior locally.
By rejecting the reserved .localhost top-level domain, Claude Code is forcing developers out of the integrated AI-driven visual feedback loop. It is a prime example of strict security allow lists breaking standard local development patterns.
In academia, UC Santa Barbara assistant professor Yuheng Bu is trying to solve the AI hallucination problem with advanced mathematics. He is developing new frameworks based on information theory and statistical learning to measure and guarantee the reliability of large language models. The goal is to generate quantifiable trust scores, or confidence intervals, for AI outputs. Instead of a black box that confidently lies to you, the model would mathematically flag when it is just guessing. It is crucial work as AI gets integrated into high-stakes fields like medicine and law, though applying theoretical trust scores to massive, opaque, proprietary models is going to be a significant uphill battle.
Finally, a fun one. Developer Sammy Smith has launched a project called Wikipedia File Explorer.
It is a web-based interface that lets you browse the entirety of Wikipedia, but designed exactly like a classic Windows XP desktop environment.
Wikipedia categories act as standard system folders, articles open up like text documents, and there is a dedicated media folder to explore Wikimedia Commons.
Smith intentionally left out the official Microsoft logos to dodge trademark issues, but the aesthetic is spot on. It is a brilliant, nostalgic experiment in visualizing massive data structures through legacy user interface metaphors.
That wraps up our coverage for today. Thank you for listening to the Noracast Tech Briefing.
If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. We will see you next time with more of the latest in tech, AI, and hardware.